Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to this Sherlock's in Conversation With podcast. Now, in this time of uncertainty, we're going to be bringing you an additional podcast every week. There'll be the regular chat podcast, and in addition, we'll be bringing you some In Conversation With podcast. We are recording remotely, so if the sound isn't quite up to our usual standard, then please do forgive us. Today, I'm joined by author, cook, nutritional health coach, and mother of three, Lizzie King, founder of Lizzie Loves Healthy, her successful blog. She helps families feed their children. In 2017, she published her best-selling cookbook, Lizzie Loves Healthy Family Food. She's here today to share her knowledge and passion, talk about her new supplement business that she launched today, and give us some foodie inspiration in these strange times that we're living in. So I'm really pleased to welcome Lizzie. Thank you so much for joining us. Lizzie, I've got to say, we're recording remotely. We're both at home, obviously, today. So thank you for giving up your time. How are you?
Oh, hi. Thank you for having me. Obviously, we can't see each other, but we are communicating, which is always nice.
It is nice. It's really nice to hear another voice other than my children arguing.
I couldn't agree more.
I was a few minutes late to this podcast because the news has just come out that Boris Johnson has just tested positive for coronavirus, and also that a lot of retailers are now closing their distribution centre. So there's quite a lot going on at Sherlock's this morning, I have to say.
Yes, I mean, I was also late because I was trying to catch the end of that news bulletin as well. But I've also this morning just launched a business, which is not the best time, but we didn't want to just not do it because of what they are. So they're just sort of being floated out there on the, all by themselves.
Tell me, how did you get into this world of nutrition? So you're a nutritional coach.
So I did that really to supplement my, I got into cooking and food for my kids after I had my first baby 13 years ago.
And what was your career prior to that?
I was in film. I worked in documentaries. I made documentaries, and then I went into feature films and I worked on the first Harry Potter movie.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's cool. What documentaries did you make? That's the dream, isn't it?
I did some documentaries for Channel 4. One was about stepkids, the sort of first fly on the wall type ones. But actually, that was the reason I then got out, because I thought, I don't want to be crouching around behind people's sofas filming their lives. But little did we know that it was then going to become Big Brother, and you didn't need to actually be in the room making the documentaries.
Oh my God, I just started Love is Blind.
Oh, I need
I was
to
working
get on
out
that.
This morning. Oh God. Someone who works for us said, I don't think it's very responsible to be promoting that. And I think she's got a point, but it's quite good.
It
God,
sounds
talking
mental.
A documentary, it's quite gripping.
Yes,
I think I'm going to be hooked. Anyway, it's definitely in the sort of Big Brother genre, shall we say, but quite entertaining nonetheless. So documentaries, then films, and Harry Potter. Whoa, that is cool.
Yeah, so then I jumped into feature films and I worked with David Heyman, who is now producing everything that's ever made. Wow. But he's just a great guy. It was amazing because he was suddenly, you know, he bought this book that no one had really read originally. Mm. He was, you know, he really chanced it and came out pretty good.
Real foresight, yeah.
Yeah. And so I was suddenly given this amazing opportunity of, like, he was like, well, you've got to read everything else that we're doing. So I was just told to find new scripts, find new books, find new everything. I mean, it was amazing. But sadly, when you have a small child, it doesn't work.
It doesn't fit in all that well. So you then started, and were you a cook anyway? Did you always like to cook?
I was a very, very enthusiastic home cook. And, you know, I just was obsessed with food, and our whole family, it was holidays and weekends were built on. You know, my dad would literally eat his lunch, and whilst he was eating it, asked my mum what was for supper, and she'd sort of practically throw something at him. So yeah, food was huge. And then I, as I say, when I had my child, thought, hang on a minute, I'm reading all these books about, you know, what stuff they should be sleeping in, what time they should be doing this. And the food stuff is so depressing. There's little sandwiches made of like crocodiles. And there's, you know, I don't want to make goo goo gaga food. I want real delicious food that they want to eat, that they want to smell in the house. And I think it was when, I probably shouldn't mention her name, she's famous, when I was reading a book and I'd had about 1 hour's sleep and it said, 8:30 a.m. You may now go and make yourself some toast. I threw the book so hard.
I loved her books. I think any mother knows exactly who you're talking about. I actually found her brilliant with a pinch of salt. But
exactly. Fair point. So that was when I thought, okay, I don't want you to tell me what I'm eating or what my children are eating, because there's not a lot of joy in this food.
Yeah. So you started a blog?
Yeah, I started a blog and an Instagram page then and there. And I was actually making food that I was selling to locals, frozen foods for kids. And that's when I thought, okay, I'm going to dig into the nutritional, not because I ever wanted to be a nutritional therapist, or I didn't ever want to, you know, to sit down one-to-one and tell people what to eat. And I still don't. I just wanted to know more because I was just greedy for knowledge. Yeah. So I did an online health coaching course, nutritional health coaching course. It's an American course. It was called the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And you get sent an iPad. The winner for me was, by then I had two tiny children. And I got an iPad and I could feed a baby and I could listen to a lecture without leaving my house. And I felt it was just the perfect sort of, I'd done all of Desperate Housewives and I needed something else.
And how long did it take you to do it? What did you pay to do it?
It was a year. And God, at the time, I think it was like $2,000.
That would be a good thing if people are sitting at home now thinking,
yeah,
something. I want to start a new career. Couldn't like get a qualification just totally from virtual distant learning.
Yeah, and I've still got all the lectures on this iPad, and you can still, and what I really liked about it, you know, there's plenty of much longer, more thorough curriculums out there, but what I really liked about it was really modern, and the newest guys that were just giving a lecture from their sitting, you know, much like we are now, Georgie, you know, sitting in our rooms talking to each other. No, but I really felt, so that was the first time I heard anything about vitamin D, for example.
Just going back to that course, did you do an exam at the end?
Yeah, so you do an exam at the end, and you
so
do
it's
it
a
all
proper
online.
Qualification that you get afterwards.
Well, it's a health coaching qualification, so you're qualified to sit down with, you know, I could talk to you. I'm not allowed to tell you what to do. I could sit down and talk to you about, you know, coaching. It's like any sort of coaching. Didn't go into it to do coaching, but there's another part of it that was, I thought, was really useful, if anyone's listening out there too, was that it had that very American marketing bent to it. So it was all like, right, now you're going to do a one-to-one, you're going to find a friend in the class virtually, and you're going to do a one-to-one, and you're all going to talk to each other about how you're going to sell your business at the end of this. Hmm. And things like that, that you just, you know, you wouldn't have got at a nutrition class in a room in London.
Yeah, fascinating. So you did your course, you started blog.
Yes, I did my course. I started my blog and my blog sort of took off.
Just, how? Well,
I was just taking photos of what I was giving my children. So I thought, and I still really have this to today, that anything I'm going to post, I want it to have something useful. I don't just want to say I've had a crap day. I mean, I like reading other funny people, funnier than me people, when they talk about their crap
days. You've got to be really funny though, haven't you?
You've got to be really funny. So I don't want to do that. I don't want to just have a picture of me when I think I look nice, you know.
So you were putting up like genuinely useful, healthy
stuff. I just
thought
if I knew what everyone on my street was feeding their kids tonight, it would just stop me tearing my hair out. So I thought, right, I'm just going to put what I'm, as I make it, it's not going to be a beautiful picture. It's just going to look delicious, I hope. And this is actually what I gave my kids. And I'm going to put a tiny bit, because I was fresh out of nutrition school, I'm going to put a tiny bit of information about the food in it. So I'm going to say, I'm not going to bang on about kale, but I'm going to say vitamin D is in these eggs and vitamin D is really good for your bones. Something digestible like that.
Nice. And it's frankly, there's a lot of information out there and it's, God, a lot of it goes over my head. My little brain can't keep up with complicated science when it comes to the benefits of different foods and what it's doing to our bodies and all that jazz.
Well, there's a lot of
digestible,
isn't it? And there's also a lot of warring, you know, factions about it as well. It's like, well, this person's talking crap and don't believe that. And I just feel like I just step away from it all. It's not about who's more qualified or who knows more. Like, we just need to eat more fresh food. It's really simple. And let's not have a fight over who knows more than who.
So let's talk a bit about the situation that we're in now. How are you doing being at home with your children? You've got three children at home, so it's you, your husband, your three children. Any waste of strays under the same roof?
No, we haven't got any spares, luckily. And it is interesting. And we've just coming to the end of our first working week.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, you know, the drill. But my husband's got this big, you know, important job, and he's been called a key worker. So he's slightly, I feel like I'm therefore meant to.
Has he? Can I ask you what he does as a key worker?
He's a creative director at Sky. And they've said Sky is, you know, he's a person that Sky need to keep the news and the information source. You know, they're entertainers as well as news sources, and they need to be, you know, functioning at top
stopping
level.
Us all from going stir crazy.
Exactly. So then there was the whole, oh, but that means you could send your kids to school, which I said, well, we're not going to do that because we're all at home. So let's not put anyone else. You know, I felt like all these teachers at schools don't need extra kids if we can keep them here. So, but also I feel like I shouldn't then lean on my husband too much because, you know, because of that. But equally, I'm launching a business. But I had the most genius piece of advice just before I got on this call from a great friend of mine.
Oh, do tell.
Who said, yeah, I think we all need to do this, kids. She said, it's really simple how I've got through this week. I have used visual aids. So I've got glasses. She has reading glasses. I've got glasses on for when I'm the teacher, glasses off for when I'm the mum, and then I've got a baseball cap. And when I'm wearing that, everyone has to back away and I need some time on my own.
I love it.
And I just thought, that's genius. I'm doing it.
Yeah, I like that. I'm just mulling that over. I wear glasses so I can get, I don't know if I have a baseball cap.
Well, it doesn't have to be a
I think that's
cap.
Great. I like it. And your children are how old?
They are 12, 10 and 6. And I just feel like if they had that, you know, if they could see, because instead of you saying, oh, maths or oh, whatever, if they just look there, you've got your glasses on, then they know. It's like, right, everyone's working. It's teacher time.
And are you homeschooling already, or are you waiting until, I mean, my children actually broke up on time for the Easter holidays. We didn't break up early. So I'm actually not going to start homeschooling until they're due to go back to school. Plus the idea of trying to manage homeschooling. I mean, my son has learning difficulties. The thought of trying to homeschool him and two others and run my business and my husband's trying to work. It's like, I can't get my head around that. I had an email from the school saying, you know, this is the approach. This is what we're going to do. We're going to set you up with it. And I was like, how the hell do you think I'm going to be able to do that? I mean, I just... It's just not feasible. It's just not feasible. Anyway, I'm parking that for now and I'm letting them enjoy the sunshine being in the garden and the Easter holidays. How are you approaching the homeschooling thing? Are yours technically supposed to be at school right now?
Well, the two little ones are local primary school. And yes, their term doesn't end till the end of next week. But they're, you know, they've just been shoved a pack of, you know, schoolwork.
Yeah.
But the 12-year-old, you know, he's got a bit more stuff that he needs to be getting through.
But presumably he can work. I mean, my 9-year-old, I'm not worried about her. She'll be great. She'll just get on with it.
Yeah.
With him, are you sort of, he's fairly self-contained?
Well, his term actually broke up yesterday and they had a big Zoom end of term party, which was fun.
Did they?
Yeah, it was really cute. But, you know, again, someone sent me this message saying, just don't use the word homeschooling because we're not teachers and we're not trying to make it a school. I think if we can do any kind of anything with them, then that's good. And I think we should just all
take the pressure off.
They're all in it together. None of these kids, apart from the children who've got headmistresses for mothers and will be doing things differently, maybe. You know, they're all either outside under a bush or watching something on a screen or asking you what's for lunch. You know, I've got them through a few workbooks, but we haven't really done.
I think it's difficult, though, for mothers who, again, like me with my middle, mothers who are concerned about their children, you know, keeping up or falling behind or whatever. You know, my son is someone that really needs, you know, even in the holidays, he really needs to keep at it. Otherwise, he just can't keep up. So I think that's the...
No, my 12-year-old, I mean, yeah, he's dyslexic and he's got some learning issues as well. And he definitely needs, you know...
The regularity.
Yeah. I feel like it's one of the things that I'm just putting on a sort of... As you said, like, let's just do an Easter holiday and try and stay calm for a bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's really lovely things like the Royal Opera House are doing live streaming of things.
Oh, there's an amazing stuff. It's keeping up with it. We're actually starting next week on Sheer Lux, a one thing to do with your child today.
Oh, great. Feature. That's a genius idea.
Yeah, because honestly, the WhatsApp is out of control and you know, we're all trying to help each other and it comes from a great place. I'm not saying it doesn't, but... you know, I was trying to find what, there was this one great message that someone sent that had about 20 links. I mean, I can't find it amongst the hundreds of WhatsApp groups. I was trying to find it to send to someone at work. I was like, I'm really sorry, I cannot find it. I've looked through 5 WhatsApp groups. I can't remember whether it was the nursery or the school class or the other class.
And then you can't move in the WhatsApp for then a meme about someone laughing about something. You know, it's just like,
Great, but the WhatsApp admin is crazy right now, isn't it? And how are your children at home? Are they having a jolly time? How is the family mentally adjusting to this situation?
I mean, so far, my children have seen it as a sort of really exciting school's out kind of, isn't this fun?
Yeah.
And, you know, we have got a titchy garden, but we have got outside space. If we didn't, we would have clawed each other's eyeballs out probably by now. But we are doing okay. And I think it sounds really boring and Gina Ford, but I think children do generally respond to a frame in their day. And we've done Joe Wicks. I mean, I know everyone knows about Joe Wicks.
Us too, yeah.
That has
I'm doing it with weights.
Yes, good.
Oh, my glutes were blimmin' sore though.
Yeah.
I can really feel, I'm standing up now. If I do a squat now, I'm like, oh, I can really feel that.
I have
been doing it with 8 kilogram dumbbells, I hasten to add, before anyone thinks I'm completely wet.
That is quite hardcore.
My neighbour messaged me saying, I'm starting virtual training next week. Can I borrow your dumbbells? I'll anti-back them and put them on your doorstep. But I'm quite grateful to have some dumbbells at home. I have to say, I think you don't even get them for love nor money anymore.
I've got a load of dumbbells if anyone needs any. I've got about 6 different weighting ranges if anyone in West London wants to pick some up.
There you go. You might regret saying that. So Joe Wicks is, he's framing your day. He's framing our day. We're not doing him at, I have to say, we're quite late risers. We're not quite getting to the 9 o'clock start. So we're not part of his live stream, but we are doing it. It has been done this morning, but it wasn't at 9 o'clock.
Well, I haven't told my children there's an option about that. I'm sure the 12-year-old probably knows, but I've just said it's 9 o'clock is an urgent factor that we have to be there. Otherwise, I feel like we would never do anything and there would be pajamas on still. So everyone has to get up and have breakfast and be ready for that. And we did it outside on a laptop today. That was great.
Is your husband joining in?
Yeah, he joins in and then he wanders out on a call and, you know. But I sort of feel like it's a start. And then after that, everyone sits down and we sort of say, right, we can just read or you can write something. Or I actually am going to get everyone writing a journal, and they're like rolling their eyes, and I said, well, do you remember Anne Frank? And then they were like, oh yeah, we're going to be famous. Because I mean, you know, it's extraordinary times. I feel like they should document it.
That's so true. The other thing we're doing to frame our day is a session of David Attenborough.
Oh, lovely.
On Netflix there are about 50 episodes of David Attenborough. So mine have to watch one of those. And that's when I do my exercise and they watch David Attenborough.
Oh, that's really good. I might adopt that. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah, I just think it's quite... Yeah. I feel like it's a bit of a geography lesson. And it sort of just gives me a moment at the beginning of the day to focus on me.
Is that Blue Planet or is that the new one?
There's loads. I mean, mine are on The Hunter at the moment, is, I think, from 2050. I'm not a massive David Attenborough watcher myself, but they're really enjoying it. And then we're chatting about what they've seen. And I've said if there's a shark one, they need to come and get me because I'm quite interested in sharks. But I don't know why. Quite fascinated by sharks. Anyway, I think that's quite a good one. I agree. The other thing we're doing, which I put on my Instagram and I've had so many amazing messages, is we have asked our parents to write down a bit about their family history, their lives, their parents' lives, their grandparents, basically as far back as they can remember. And every day they send us an email with a few paragraphs on. And at 7:30 we sit down in the sitting room and read them to the children and talk about what they've written. And it's
I love that.
Fascinating. And last night we read, I think, part 4 from my father-in-law, which was about, he was a little child during the Second World War and he was sent to Cornwall during the Blitz. And that's what we were reading last night.
Oh, and it was like fascinating.
It's so fascinating. It was kind of strangely, like, surreally familiar. It felt familiar, you know, in the situation that we're in. Anyway, I really recommend doing it. I've got my mum doing it as well now. My dad actually got coronavirus, poor thing. So he's all right. He's all right. But one of many. But bit rotten.
Is he at home?
He's at home isolating with my sister and my stepmom. My sister's now got a cough, so I reckon she might be she might be next. Anyway, so he's not started his yet. But anyway, for anyone with also it gives the parents something to do, doesn't it?
Well, exactly.
Although my mum is 70 next year, the irony is that she's too busy. They're isolating. She's too busy to talk to me because she's always playing bridge with her friends online.
Well,
she keep ringing her. She's like, darling, can I call you later? I'm just playing bridge. I was like, only you would be too busy during self-isolation to be able to talk to me. She's got into something called Bridge Base. I think it's called .org, where you can play with your friends online. And if there's only three of you, then a robot will be the fourth person or whatever. So anyway, for anyone listening, want to do something for their parents to do, then.
Well, I love that. Apparently there's people playing, they've got, because obviously there's no sport on, the boys putting football teams against each other and just playing. They're just seeing.
Oh, really?
They're just watching FIFA playing itself is instead of watching real football matches.
I don't know what's worse. Tell me about food. How is food playing a part in your lives right now? Have you relax the rules? Are there lots of rules? What's your kind of approach for your own family on a day-to-day, and have you adapted that for now?
Yeah, so obviously as the children get older, when they were tiny, that I had, you know, and fresh out of nutrition school, I had stronger edicts on their day, I guess. But I now, you know, anything really get, well, not anything goes. I mean, given that we're now at home and they can't get any external food sources, my basic thing is just as much fresh stuff as you can. And, you know, there's no rules. There's no, you can't have this or you can't have that. But I don't have a big jar full of Kit Kats or, you know, but they have crisps, they have chocolate, you know, they do have stuff like that. But if I can give them the nice stuff, not that that's not nice stuff, but what I mean is, if your lunch has been pretty nice and it's got a vegetable or two in it, then, you know, putting a chocolate bar or, you know, a bit of chocolate even.
Totally. I'm so glad you said that. I'm so into not restricting things.
I think food should always, always be a joy. And I feel as a parent, it can be so stressful, and particularly now. But I feel like we should remember that it's a real privilege. We are imparting our joy or knowledge or whatever about food onto our children. We're getting another human into food. Yeah. And I think that's, for me, a big part of it.
I know, I so, so want them to grow up with a healthy attitude towards food. I think it's a real challenge as a parent. I actually found, well, an empty box of Oreos in a cupboard. And I said to them, don't steal food. I was like, I'm so relaxed with you. You have so many treats. Some children have much stricter parents when it comes to food. And I don't believe in restricting things. So please don't sneak off and eat things in secret. I just want them to grow up with a healthy attitude.
Yeah, I think I've definitely found hidden scrunched up packets of Haribo. But I then just sort of say, look, you know, the thing is I just want you to be, particularly now, I think it's much easier to get the message in at the moment. I did a live cooking class yesterday on Instagram, and I had lots of questions coming in from people. But interesting, the vibe afterwards and all the DMs I got were about people going, it's what my child really wanted to know about was, you know, because now they're worried about, you know, not getting ill and who's well and who's. And it's suddenly become a much higher priority. And even kids are realising that, you know, that what you eat does have an impact on your health.
Yeah.
And we know that.
And you've got to respect your body. And I think they've just got to really learn. I made a carrot cake. It was my husband's birthday. And they had a big piece for pudding. And I was like, you can have this for pudding. But just so you know, if you have a snack this afternoon, it's an apple. And please don't ask me for anything else. You know, if you want to have a yogurt for pudding, you can have something sweet later. But you just need to get the balance right. That's kind of the only thing I really want to get through to them.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So So can you tell me what an average day on a plate looks like for
yes,
your children in your
I
house?
Can.
So porridge for breakfast, my six-year-old won't really have anything else. I mean, we make it very different, but he has a lot of porridge.
Delicious.
Yeah, delish, exactly. And
do you put honey in it, or do you put something
has
clever
nut
in
butter
there?
Or bananas or honey or, you know, the real thing I find with food is that it's so easy, especially as a mum when you're navigating all the stress around it, is you find something that works and you just stick to it. And I've done lots of cooking classes with mums and au pairs and nannies and whatever. And they go, no, this is what they have. And they're really fussy. And they go, well, that is the crux of the problem, is that you found the two things that they really like and you don't really, you know, veer off. That's what they have for snack and that's what they have for breakfast and that's what they have, you know. And so yeah. If it is that, that's what they like porridge, and you feel everyone's comfort, you know, levels rise immediately because we've all found a happy place. Just try and change it a bit, you know. So have one day it has a bit of stewed apple on top, or one day it has peanut butter. I think the key, especially when they're tiny, is that you just need to keep changing a few tastes, a few flavours. Otherwise, they can so quickly shut into a narrow, rigid, like a horse in a little box, and they're never going to get out.
Yeah. And what's your view on cereal? My daughter said to me yesterday, could we get some Lucky Stars? And I was like, no, not a chance. The fact that you get Cheerios from time to time and Raisin Wheat is pretty good. Not a chance.
No, I mean, exactly. My rule is that ones, not shiny ones. Nothing shiny, please. I mean, I just turn the packet around now they're bigger and I say, just look, just read it. I'm not a policeman, but just look at the stuff and then look at this back packet of granola or this granola that I've just made. You know, granola is the easiest thing to make. You basically stick oats in a thing with some butter and some honey and shove it in the oven. And then you can add nuts and raisins and cranberries.
It's not so sugary now.
No, you can just put a tiny squeeze of honey or a little bit of whatever you want. You're in charge of the sweet levels as well. And the, you know, the commercial ones are always going to have way more and they're always going to use the cheapest sweetener. It's literally done in half an hour. And the smell is amazing too. So I recommend that. Anyway, my day on a plate. Any of those things for breakfast. Oat-based, I would say, is our breakfast. And then another thing I think also helps with the overall fussy vegetable chasing children thing is just not endless snacks.
Yeah.
So people are always asking me about snacks. They endlessly want to know snacks. And I.
But do you not think now they really need like a snack break to up their morning?
They
like
do,
you're cooped up at home. It's like a small pleasure, isn't it?
For sure, for sure. And I think we do too. But I think it's the danger of just endless, like, you know, my son could come in here every 5 minutes and ask me for something. And if I just bunged a, you know, another crunchy packet of, I don't know, whatever, he would definitely never eat lunch whenever it arrives, which is usually a bit late. And I think hunger is a massively underrated tool in the battle for getting children to eat things.
Yeah, so true. So
I mean, if they're starving hungry, which mine often are because I'm locked in a room trying to launch a business and my husband's locked in another room, and eventually they come out and they're clawing the door and I feed them something and it could be an aubergine curry and they would hoover it up because they're absolutely starving.
Yeah,
but
so
I do think hunger. I think we worry too much about children saying, I'm really hungry, mummy, I'm really hungry, mummy. And we just quickly react and we shove
them. Oh, I know. My son's like, I'm starving. I'm like, oh, do you know what it means to be starving?
Yeah. And what inevitably
starving, have a banana.
Is a stodgy, carby thing that we've got in the cupboard. And so that, I think, makes your life actually more difficult. But so
if you're gonna...
of fruit out always and they can have as much of that as they want, whenever they want.
Okay. And you don't worry that fruit's full of sugar?
Well, I feel like it's 1 o'clock and I still haven't started making lunch. I really don't care if they're eating another apple.
I don't worry about that. But so I remember a nutritionist saying, don't be fooled by fruits full of sugar.
I love them eating apples, but yeah, I get it. You don't want them just to eat fruit, but if they're then going to eat a big bowl of, I don't know, chili con carne, then it's all good with me.
Yeah, totally. So if they are going to snack, it's fruit, or what about your amazing crunch bars? I remember
Yes, we've got a really nice, in fact, they said that to me the other day, why don't you make these anymore? I've basically become, because I'm trying to make things
for other people's children. Basically, my children don't get fed. So I have realised that I haven't made them any snacks recently. I'm going to do that this week. I'm going to make, there's a really nice, it's sort of like a fake millionaire square. Like it's millionaire square, but with just nice stuff in it. And that's delicious. And energy balls, again, that's a bit like making granola, but you just, it's much easier. You just put a whole load of stuff in a Maggi mix and pulse it up and then put them in the freezer. And they are delicious. And you know that they're not just full of junk. So I would just do a little, just one little snack, and then lunch is either something, I try and do lunch as the thing, like I try and do lunch as a sort of nice, like I think we've got some fish today that I've defrosted, I'm digging out my freezer as I'm sure everyone is. And so I've got some fish that I'm just going to put in some polenta and then put it in the frying pan. So they're going to have crispy Friday fish with lots of vegetables, yeah. But I do also think like giving, I mean, part of the reason I did my book and my blog was that kids' food, you know, it shouldn't just be a butternut squash puree or a, like, give them, I often put things on the table and I go, this is polenta fried fish with that, you know, and they love it. Their eyes, like, they feel like you're really, like, giving them some love
and
attention.
You're selling it to them.
Yeah.
And then afternoon, maybe another snack,
afternoon,
maybe not.
We usually have a smoothie in there probably in the morning after Joe Witt's, maybe. Gosh. That's probably our morning snack instead of bar or anything. One of our breakfasts, my husband or I will be making some kind of smoothie at some point, and we just make double and give the children it. So that'll be a bit of fruit, but so the one I made yesterday had frozen cauliflower in it, which is a really good tip.
Ooh,
cauliflower the freezer goes really creamy in a smoothie.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it doesn't have that sulfurous taste because it's frozen.
I've actually got cauliflower in the fridge. So can you give me a recipe?
Yes. If you're using some of the cauliflower and you've got, just stick it in the freezer in florets in a little baggie. And then I would do some berries, then whatever milk you've got, a few nuts and seeds, like I would put ground linseeds in it, and a banana. Just because I always try and balance. You've got a lot of fruit, like you know, you don't want just a sweet treat. You don't want a lollipop in a glass.
I do, actually.
Yes, but you want to have a bit of broader spectrum of goodness in there, I think.
Fair enough.
I mean, sure, lollipops have their place. You can whiz up a whole load of fruit and stick it in the freezer. But then what else would I put? And then stick a bit of cauliflower in it. And if you've got some berries flavouring it, you don't taste the cauliflower, but they've had a ton of veg, so that's good.
And then what's for supper?
Supper is usually more of a, like, it might be cheese on toast or a fridge forage, especially right now. I would just open
so are
the
you
door.
More of a cooked lunch and then a snackier supper?
Well, I am at the moment. I'm not normally, because they're at school at lunchtime,
right?
And I would do one thing that's hot and that I'm sort of trying to get a lot of good stuff in. And so I would normally do that, would be supper time. Otherwise it sort of won't happen. And also by the end of the day, they just, you know, they either want to watch a movie or everyone's had enough I just feel like, actually, it's fine. Let's just do cheese on toast or pasta and pesto or, you know, a soup. You know, soup's a really good one that I never really, you know, people said they never really thought of to give their children, but it's so easy, you know, you just a whole load of chicken stock with any roasted vegetables just in a blender.
So it's smooth is what you're saying.
Yeah, I would do it so it was smooth. No, I mean, I don't always. Otherwise, I would do it like a noodle soup with lots of chunky vegetables in it.
I'm not sure what my children would say to that.
To what? The noodle soup?
Yeah, I don't know, like soup. I think they turn their noses up. My littlest, my 3-year-old, actually often steals my soup. The others, not so keen, but maybe I should try it. I feel like if I did some chunky bread and butter, then they
might. Yes, that's what I was going to say. So it's always
some
the
cheese
way
on top
to get
something.
It in. So if you do croutons, you could do some crispy croutons in a pan and a bit of parmesan over or some pesto dolloped on top. Or, it's my 6-year-old I do this too. I give him a huge chunk of granary bread with a load of butter on it and he dips it in and eats it and he gets quite a lot of soup like that.
Interesting. I may well give that a go. And can you tell me what is in your cupboard and your fridge right now? Like, what are the things, obviously we're all being good, we're not stockpiling, but what are the things that you're like, right, these are things I need to get in my order when I get through the virtual queue? God, that's a nightmare, isn't it? What are the things that my husband actually went to Sainsbury's yesterday morning and got there at 8 o'clock and did the one in, one out thing.
And was there anything there?
Yeah, there was. I mean, you got there early, but yeah, there was.
Yeah.
What are the key things for you to have in your fridge and your cupboard in times like this?
So I didn't do, I probably should have done, I went the opposite. I went the anti-stockpile. So I decided that, well, all my Ocado deliveries and any other online deliveries went down the pan. And I then thought, this is 2 weeks ago, and then thought, well, I'm not going to go and buy stuff because everyone's gone mad. And so now I don't actually have very much food, which is fine because I've got a nice vegetable box, which comes once a week. And that comes anyway, come hell or high water, and I've had for years. And I've got my milk guy who comes twice a week. And so I feel like, actually, this is how it kind of should be. It's like, well, I've got some rice. I've got, you know, loads of beans and things. I'm just going to buy, you know, once a week or whenever it is, what I need. Just one little bag full of food. And I think, yeah, the things that I think I really am relying on are the tins of beans and chickpeas, and because you can, you know, with chickpeas especially, you can add them quickly to the top of a soup, you can make them crispy in the oven.
I love a roasted chickpea.
And also chickpeas you can add in, you can just fold it through if you've just got some salad-y things or a tin of fish or whatever, you can just add it in and put some salad dressing on it and it looks like a fancy Otto Lengi number.
Yeah, I don't know what my children would think about that, but I would love that, as of my husband. They might.
Okay, I've got a top tip for getting your kids to eat salad, and it's slightly cheating.
Pizza Express dressing in my house.
I don't think anything's cheating. I don't like that word, but balsamic vinegar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Balsamic drizzle. Hello.
Well, I think that's too sticky and disgusting. I can't really
I love it. Do you not like it? Too much sugar. You see, it's my sweet tooth. I don't like puddings, but I like sweet things, weirdly.
That's interesting. Yeah, no, I don't really like, I just naturally prefer Marmite and miso to
I love those two. Salt and sugar, they're my weaknesses. Anyway, balsamic, yeah.
Balsamic, balsamic, just whatever you've got in your cupboard right now, I guess, and olive oil and a bit of mustard and maybe a squeeze of lemon. And my children, literally, they devour huge bowls of green leaves. Just like they go in hard. It's not like I have to
persuade
them. Yeah, it's all about the dressing.
You talked about fish with polenta. Can you give me a few family suppers in these times that aren't too tricky?
Yes. Pie is always a nice idea. What I like, especially at this time of what we're going through, is something that you can make. So you can buy, let's say, a big lump of mince or lentils if you're vegetarian, and make a huge, I mean, we've got time at the moment, right? We're all in our houses. We're all going to be in our kitchens a lot more, and we're all wanting everyone to be well. So I feel like now is the time to get your pinny on, get over the stove and do a long blipper. So it doesn't mean you have to
a long what? A long blipper?
Like it blipping away on the stove, you know?
Oh, right.
Like a long, slow and low.
Slow cooked.
Yeah. So if you get a big pot of ragu, or I've got lots of recipes in my book for this. I've got a really nice cumin turkey sweet potato pie. But what I mean is the base, the meaty dish, or if it's lentils, I've got a lentil one as well that my children love, smoky lentil. Just have that as it, like, make extra vat's worth. So on your one shop that you've got, and then you have it on day one, you have it with pasta as a sauce, and then you portion another bit off and you add some kidney beans and you have it with rice with a bit of smoky paprika, and you've got a chili con carne, and then you have it underneath some mashed potato and you've got a pie. So you can have, like, and you don't have to have this day after day, you know, you can put one in the freezer and you can put one in, but I think it's one lot of cooking that you can stretch out, and I think something like that you could get to last you over a sort of Monday to Friday week.
Yeah, and also especially in a time now where you don't want to waste anything. I don't want to throw any vegetables away. It was interesting yesterday. I can't remember who it was. Someone, was it a politician or someone, was saying, like, we need to learn not to eat so much and also to use what we have. We're in a culture, aren't we, of just sort of feeling like we need to eat all the time and also throwing things away all the time. And we just need to be a lot more savvy, I think, don't we?
So, that's what's so interesting, is that our whole relationship with food has really had a full circle, and people are really realizing that you can't just click your, it doesn't make sense to just click your fingers and have 40 tons of deliveries arrive on your doorstep. Like, it's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you have to, you know, just have what, take what you need. I don't think it's about doing less cooking anymore. I think it's just about doing with what you've got, like you said. You know, you just have to use up every wilted piece of spinach and every herbs, you know, herbs are, if you've got any herbs in your fridge or on your windowsill growing, you can snip them up, put them in a bit of oil in the whizzer, and then put them in an ice cube tray, and you've got fresh herbs for forever.
That is clever. That is a good tip. So that was a pie. What are the other two?
Crispy something in the oven, like a crispy baked chicken that we've got a really nice recipe that I use with ground almonds. So you're not just using all the breadcrumbs. Apparently people, yeah, this bread is a tricky one at the moment as well. So you can have crispy baked chicken in the oven with some potato wedges. That's really nice. Nice. And then I like a sort of big ricey, you can have a paella or a chicken jambalaya. It's all in the pot and it just sits there, and then you open it and the steam comes out and you have this delicious, I mean, I love a big pot of rice with vegetables and either prawns or a chicken thing is one of my favourite things. I love that.
Oh, I love that. And actually, right, using rice more, I sort of feel, I always think about pasta if I'm doing something like that with a carb, but actually rice is something I feel like I should use more.
Yeah, rice is a good one. You can do lots of different, risotto, another.
Yeah, you've got a good risotto recipe on your website. What is it, your spring prawn and pea risotto?
Delicious. Oh, that is good. I love that, yes.
Yeah,
and the other good thing really about good risotto for everyone wanting to stretch food is you have any leftovers when they're cold from the fridge. Most people, nothing they would like to do less than deal with cold, sticky, stodgy risotto. You fry them up, put a tiny bit of Parmesan in the middle, and then fry them up in little balls. They're called arancini in Italy.
Oh,
so delicious.
So good. Love that. That is a good tip. All these recipes and ideas are great, but what if you don't have the ingredients? Are there other places you can go to? Are there food delivery services that you really recommend people look into?
Yeah, so I would say, and I've actually had more questions about this in the last week than almost anything, is that the normal, we all know that the regular situation isn't, you know, isn't up to speed and you can't get a delivery, your normal deliveries. If you don't have a setup already in place, a veg box or whatever, then it can be really tricky. And so I have been amazed, I mean, the resilience and the spirit that people are, you know, getting around problems. Mm. So obviously we've got everyone at home, no one's going to restaurants, and everyone's booked a supermarket delivery until kingdom come. So the shelves are bare in the supermarkets. Well, they're not all of them, but it's tricky. So what I found amazing is lots of restaurants have flipped their businesses and they're using their food suppliers to do deliveries to homes.
Clever.
And yeah, really clever. And
so these aren't meals, these are ingredients.
Yes. So these are, well, although there are some meals, there's a company called Pottage. I don't know if you know Pottage.
Oh, yeah, I do.
They do meals. So they do freshly made, you know, you just go on their website, buy a lasagna. Eight as in the number, are a brilliant new children's families frozen food, which comes from a lovely catering kitchen. And you can order a whole freezer full of lots of them. They're designed to be super nutritious and healthy by nutritional therapists. So that would be if you're interested in keeping your children banged up to the eyeballs with health. But then all the restaurants that I feel like I really want to support who are, you know, trying to cling on by their fingernails. There's Leon restaurants who, you know, obviously are shut, but they've managed to turn it around. And they're also giving a donation to the NHS as well. So you can go onto that website, leon.com, and look at if you want to buy stuff or if you want to donate stuff to the NHS. There's then Spring. You know the restaurants? So these big, beautiful restaurants like Spring and the Shed restaurant.
So Spring at Somerset House you're talking about?
Yeah, Spring at Somerset House. So you can go onto their website, send them an email. They've got a farm. They've got a place called Heckfield, which has got all this fresh produce.
Oh, the lovely Heckfield.
Exactly. And they are rerouting everything because they're not feeding all these hundreds of people in restaurants and hotels. And so you can go and you can buy the best, most delicious food from these restaurants. And I just got a delivery this morning from a company called Harvey and Brockless. Again, you would never know about these people. They're not Ocado or Sainsbury's, but you're getting restaurant food. I've just had all this delicious Quicks cheddar and fresh halloumi. Incredible.
So again,
food.
This is the actual individual products, not...
Yes, this. But this one is an individual sourcing restaurant product and another one called Le Marché des Chefs. But these companies are trying to just turn it around really quickly so that they don't go under, essentially. And for general groceries. There's a lovely deli called Panzer's Deli, and they're now doing, you just do your shopping, you send them a shopping list and then they deliver it in a van. But I'm just thinking of places that you can actually get, you know, you're not going to get hit Brilliant. A brick wall and be Brilliant. In 2 hours.
You just got to hope they're not too expensive, because I think everyone is also sort of thinking about budgeting and
totally
the economy and job market, etc, etc. So
you completely well some of these veg boxes and options like the Potash veg box are not, you can get a whole box of fruit for 10 quid.
Brilliant.
But there's food out there if you want it, and there's lovely companies that are trying to keep you fed and trying to run around the countryside in order to not lose all their suppliers. And it just feels like when the world's topsy-turvy, we should try and rebalance
support
it somehow.
Them. Support them. I know, it seems odd that the supermarkets are benefiting from this, doesn't it? But anyway.
Well, that's another beautiful thing about it is, though, that we're all looking at the other ways to eat. We're all looking at people growing things on their windowsills, you know, which they would never have thought of doing that, and getting their herb plants out. So there is light in it all.
Love that. Thanks for that advice. Lizzie, before we finish, you have just launched a new business today. Is that right?
It is correct, yes.
Talk about making life hard for yourself. I mean, you've got to plough on, I guess. But you've launched a range of supplements for children. They're sachets. Can you tell us about them? There are three in the range. Yeah, tell us all about them.
With my cookbook and my blog, I didn't think there was enough out there for children that was decent, delicious, proper food that was going to keep them well. So that's why I did that. And it was the same with my products. So I was making my own potions and smoothies and, you know, building things when they had issues or when I wanted them to sleep better or if someone got a sick bug. And it just made me realize that there wasn't anything out there that I wanted to give my kids. And I felt like a lot of people could deal with them. So I made them. And so here they are. So there's three, and they're natural remedies targeted to help children with the three things that I've struggled most with, which is have one kid gets a sick bug and you just, everyone then gets it. The other one is sleep, that golden thing that we all need more of. And the other one is staying well. So when people have coughs and colds and flus.
So for people listening, they're called Be Settled, Be Sleepy, and Be Well.
Be Well.
And one is to support their tummies, one is to help them relax and unwind, and one of them is to support their immune systems. How do you help children relax and unwind?
I just wanted there to be something that wasn't messing up their, you know, neurons or actually, you know, shutting them out. I dug into the books and looked at what people had used before and what actually was working. And then I tried it all out. So it's looking at stuff and what I think I like the look of that was natural. And in this case, it was, these are based on the Montmorency cherry, which is a natural source of melatonin. So I thought, great, let's try that. So I was making these smoothies with the concentrate and it was working. And then I put it up on the blog and people went mad for it. And there were people saying, I've never got my three-year-old to sleep ever. And now she's sleeping.
What?
So I thought, okay, we need to be able to give this to people so they don't have to have a bottle of something in the fridge that they then have to make a smoothie with. So I made their powdered sachets that you can stick in your pocket and then you just tip it into a drink and stir
it
up.
Is it like magnesium where they say it's sort of a cumulative effect? So you keep taking it, or do you just give it to them on a day when they're...
Good question.
They've had a crap
actually
night.
Also has magnesium in it. So it's got sour cherry, magnesium and L-theanine. So this is like I've maxed it up because I often find, particularly for children, like gummy bears or dodgy like sweets that actually, if you look at them, don't really have very much in them that you want them to have. Excuses for vitamins, I call them.
Yeah. Complete waste of money.
Yeah, complete waste of money.
Just back to my question. So do you take it daily or do you just take it during
of restlessness? Well, you could do either. I mean, I give it to my kids when there's exams or when someone's in a jitter. So I would give it for a week, but it can be cumulative. You can, like, after 3 days, it suddenly kicks in. But I wouldn't use it every night.
And then there's the Be Settled one, which is to help calm their tummy. So if they've been ill, is that sort of restoring the balance?
Well, no, it's actually to get, so if someone's been sick or got a runny tummy, it's got activated charcoal in it and kaolin clay. So it basically gets the bug out. So it's used in A&E for, you know, accidental poisonings. So it's a really effective way of drawing things out of your system.
But that one you definitely wouldn't use every day because it can also draw out things that you don't want it to draw out repeatedly. So if you're on medicine or, you know, vitamins and stuff. But if you've got a bug, someone's thrown up. I did this 4 years ago with my littlest. He was throwing up. I was working on a shoot. I rang up my husband and I said, look, just do this. Pull this tablet apart, sprinkle it into this drink and just see. Because that's what I would do for me. And I know that they use them on children. Anyway, 2 hours later, he was eating porridge and asking to go to school. And I've never had that when someone's been sick all night. And then I've rolled it out and people have, you know, on my blog have used it a lot. And I've had such incredible feedback. I felt like the people need to know. Like I've had weekends ruined by, I mean, it sounds like small fry compared to what we're dealing with at the moment. But still, people are in their houses.
All,
and if you've got
relative,
a child throwing up,
pretty
exacerbated.
Grim.
Yeah.
And then the third one is be well. And this is to support their immune system. And it says that this one's got blackcurrant, elderberry, vitamin C, D, zinc and selenium. What's selenium?
Selenium. So zinc and selenium are amazing for combating your oxidative stress, if you want to go into the science. And they are anti-inflammatory. So basically all of these add up together to be basically, if your immune system is, well, we all have an immune system anyway. And so it's this, the idea that you can't boost it. And I keep reading that in the press at the moment. You cannot boost an immune system. And I get that you can't. But if you're not eating enough fresh stuff and you're worried about what's going in, especially at the moment, you know, I don't want to be running around chasing my kids with a carrot. I use this and I've used this concoction that I've made at home and put in smoothies for years to stop, you know, when they go back to school in the winter or when everyone's got a cough in their class or and they haven't been off school sick.
Well, Lizzie, I think they sound absolutely brilliant. Where are you selling them?
So they are on our website, lizzieloves.com. And when shops return to normality, there will be some stockists, but obviously I can't talk about them yet.
Yes. Well, it sounds like there's a gap in the market for them. So, Lizzie, I want to wish you huge luck with your new natural remedies. I think they sound absolutely brilliant. I will definitely be stocking up on some of those. Thank you so much for talking to us today. It's been lovely to chat. Bit of normality in this grim situation.
Stay well. I love to speak to another mother about how we're all getting along because we're all getting along.
And as I said to my children yesterday, I said, I know this is a horrendous time and it's not easy for businesses, but I think we will look back and realize that actually it was quite a special time as well.
Yes, and I think they will too. I think our children will look back and be like the generation that got to spend time at home with our parents.
I know. That's the perfect note to end. Thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoyed that, then do please rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. I hope you all stay well and we will be back soon. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.